Good afternoon. Welcome to the Middle-Aged and Metal podcast. It's been a couple of weeks. I've just been very busy. I've had a slight lack of motivation to do just about anything. I just kind of had a mini depression, a mini break. It was actually pretty bad for a couple of days there. I thought I was like, am I ever going to feel normal again? I don't really know what it was. And I'd like to say just as swiftly as it came, it left. But it lingered for about 2 weeks. And the strangest thing was it was about a week and a half. And then it was probably like 9:45 on Wednesday. You know, that was the week and a half. It kind of started the Monday prior. And I just like kind of like in my own head, I said, I think I'm all right again. It was just the strangest thing. It was like whatever was happening kind of passed, and I was cognizant enough to recognize that I was feeling better. So I got to do a little follow up on that, and you know, make sure that it's not beginning of a more serious problem, some type of depression or whatnot. I actually feel fine most of the time, but it was a little bit scary. So I'll probably actually talk to someone just to make sure it's not a big deal. The other thought that I had is like, you know, mark it down on the calendar and see if it happens again. And if it does, if it's a year from now, all right. If it's a week from now, all right, maybe that's a problem. Or if it's a year from now and then it happens again 2 months after that. So I'm not necessarily sure. I got some stuff on my mind. I'm not particularly happy with my job, as I've probably stated several times. But you know, it pays the bills, and I'm finding ways to adapt and get through that. But you know, sometimes you just get stuck in the feeling that you're not doing what you really want to be doing, and when you don't really have any solution or way to get out because you have a lot of responsibilities to do, and you know, look, your skill set is focused in one area, so it can get to you sometime, and I think that's what happened. Honestly, I don't really think it was part of anything bigger. I think it was just culmination of a couple of things that you at some point you realize just might never happen for you in terms of what you want to do professionally, which ends up being personally, because if you wanted to take a plunge and start your own business, it's a shit time to do it. Number one, especially a face to face business. But also it's a risk, right? Because, you know, you've got a family that depends on you. And you know, you've got little ones, you want to make sure that you're able to provide them with at least what they need, on a daily basis, and maybe have a little bit extra to do some fun stuff if you're lucky or fortunate, I should say. Big difference between being lucky and fortunate. Lucky means shit just happens to you. Fortunate means you've put yourself in a good position, to take care of yourself and take care of those around you. Big difference. And at least in my opinion. But anyway, enough about that. So today what I thought I would talk about was and this one just kind of spontaneously came to me as I took a very early draw on my vape this morning, just a little bit to kind of get going, and then I'll leave it alone again until the evening. It's nice because, you know, I'm up early. It helps me relax for about, you know, an hour or two before the rest of the family gets up, and, you know, any remnants of it is long gone. It's not something that I do often, but sometimes I just get up way too early. So anyway, I got to thinking, you know, the positives of marijuana, and especially, you know, more importantly, the positives of marijuana for me. And this isn't a blanket endorsement. Obviously, take it with a grain of salt. Everybody's DNA is different. What's going on in everybody's mind is different. So obviously, a chemical like marijuana, just like alcohol, just like any other, you know, medication for that matter, may have, you know, different effects on different people. But in my experience, it's been an overwhelming force for good. And there's a few areas that, you know, it really just enhances me as a person overall, but it just kind of puts a different layer on your senses, and I don't really know how to explain it without sounding overdramatic for those that don't partake, and not doing it justice for those that do partake. I guess the folks that do enjoy the THC certainly understand and may have as difficult a time explaining it as I do. But the first and foremost, I don't know why I would ever want to listen to music without it. It's not that I need it to enjoy music. I listen to music all day, stone cold sober. I drove a lot in my previous role, seriously, a lot, 40,000 miles minimum for 20 years. So, you know, I estimate I drove 850,000 miles, all stone cold sober, listening to a shit ton of music. And then later on, the last couple of years, podcasts really broke that up a little bit too, because I had kind of an alternative. You know, talk radio was dead. And, you know, you get, sometimes you're on an 8-hour ride, even no matter how much you like music, sometimes you just aren't really in the mood for anything. But anyway, you know, so it's not that I have any problem listening to it or don't get don't take any enjoyment out of it, stone cold sober, but it just kind of envelops you when you're really in the zone. If you've, you know, used whatever your method is, I've been kind of leaning heavily towards edibles, and, you know, smaller doses, depending on the time, and cutting back on how much I smoke. And I use you know, a good vaporizer a little bit in the evening. But whatever method you take, if you're just sitting there and your plan is to say, either watch a particular type of movie that you like. I always prefer comedies. I don't like anything too heavy. You know, or if you're going to watch, you know, you're going to watch sports, you get really super into it, or you lock into the video game that you're playing. For me, it's music. That's it. I don't really play video games anymore. I got Gears of War 5 that I got like 40% through and just said, I'm just, now it's been like a year since I've touched it, so I'd have to start over again if I get the urge. And I would probably do the same damn thing. Maybe I'd make it 50% next time if I was lucky. But you know, that's really part of my nighttime routine. You know, I come out here, I get my record clean. Sometimes I record it for you fellas on Instagram. Sometimes I just do it and plop a record on. And then, you know, I stand right outside the door. I take care of business if it's a smoking night. And I just come and sit here, you know, right in what I believe is the perfect V-shape position for my speakers. It's a very small space, so I'm sitting pretty damn close and really just kind of sitting there. And sometimes I'm reading the news. Sometimes I'm, what a dumpster fucking fire that is all the time. Sometimes I'm reading the news. Sometimes I'm scrolling Instagram and whatnot, but I'm always really locked into the music. And it just, there are times where I'm listening to it and I just put down my phone and I just kind of get up and start bobbing my head and move around to it. I'm not going to lie. I do a little bit of solo dancing in here. And that's what happens when I'm just feeling really good. I've got a little bit of THC in me to mellow me out. I can kind of wash away the day. I've taken care of all of my responsibilities. I've done what I need to do for my family. I've gotten all of my work taken care of. Kids are tucked in. Wife is relaxing after, you know, a long day for her, which is while I'm doing all the stuff I've got to do, she's got to chase these two monsters around. So, you know, we both just kind of love each other very, very much. We reconvene after a little while. I think after the day is over and the kids are in bed, we just kind of go do our separate thing for a little bit. And then, you know, and then we meet up and we'll watch TV together. We'll just hang out. And sometimes we do different things together, which is nice because we don't both have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of time to really blast my music because, you know, if I am listening to it during the day at work, I keep it on low because I do need to concentrate. A lot of times it's, hey, I just got time for a song, so I'll go on to CDs and then I'm back onto Zoom or the phone or whatever. And it's the same thing for her. She's got her thing is YouTube. Excuse me. Her thing's YouTube, so she'll just kind of chill out, and sometimes we'll just chill out on the bed, and I'll watch you know, I'll watch some concerts on YouTube, or I'll watch TV, and she'll put her headphones on, and we'll just enjoy our time together, just doing you know, doing the things that make us happy as individuals. So you know, we don't get a lot of time to do that. So when I really get the chance to get locked in, I always would love to have a big fat joint right next to me because it just, I mean, it just, it's like, you know, peanut butter and jelly or peanut butter and fluff, if that's your preference, or peanut butter and banana for that. If you're one of those crazy people like me who makes those for their kids for lunch, their oldest one anyway, you know, you just got to go for it, you know, do what you got to do, and enjoy the music. One of the other areas that it really, really, and this one I kind of crack up on is it, to me, I mean, it enhances sex like tenfold. You know, your whole body is kind of on, especially with an edible. But with, you know, just on, you're just a little bit more sensitive. You're a little bit more more locked in. So every touch kind of feels amazing. You know what I mean? And it's what's kind of funny is my my wife doesn't partake in it. And you know, so occasionally I catch myself probably into it a little bit more than she is. I'm thinking of like I'm fucking Sting in an 8-hour tantric session over here, and this poor woman's just trying to get through the night and go to bed and get some sleep before the kids are right up her yin yang the next day. So I catch myself in that. So, and I usually, you know, one thing I should say is very rarely am I ever getting, like, I'm not coming out and getting blasted, you know, knocked out, you know, taking dabs. I don't want to get that messed up because I think that would probably be bad for me. Because, you know, that is one of the downsides that can happen. And I'll get to some of the negatives is, you know, you go a little bit too deep into your own thoughts. And sometimes for me, I think if I go over what I'm accustomed to, it's easy for me to slip into that. So I'm cautious of that and make sure that I don't take it too far. I mean, the truth be told is as good a buzz as I get most of the time, if shit hit the fan, I could jump in the car and go safely. I won't ever do that. I won't have to do that. You know, my wife is obviously on standby knowing that I'm kind of coming out here and doing my thing should anything happen. But it's just, you know, I know what my limitation is in theory. Every once in a while, and this happened last week, and it happens more so with edibles, especially if I'm getting it from, you know, from my guy who is, you know, he can tell me what he used to make them. I'm not quite sure that he's able to gauge accurately what the milligram count is, or, you know, of THC. So the other day I finished the last of the hash cookies that he gave me, and there was probably about 2/3 of one left. And I've kind of been eating them by the quarter or by the third. No, probably by the third, which that explains why there was 2/3 left. So I was like, ah, screw it. It was like really like just as my little downtime was wrapping up, I had really horrible nights of sleep for 2 weeks. So waking up at 3:30 and after 3-4 hours of sleep max and unable to go to sleep. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go a little bit deeper and I'll sleep a little bit better tonight. I went deeper, but it, you know, with the edible and really being as tired as I was, I got really, really seriously messed up, but I only enjoyed it for about 20 minutes. I passed out at like 8:40. And I slept till about 6 the next day. And by the time it was like 8 o'clock, what little fuzz from, you know, from the remnants of that being really strong, but also sleeping for almost 10 hours, which I hadn't done, that had all worn off. And I was kind of really back to business and back to feeling like myself. Not to say that that was the catalyst, but I think that was icing on the cake as I was, you know, kind of getting myself back to normal, and just having a good night's sleep and that helping me along really did seal the deal. And it's funny because I did want to go talk to my doctor about my sleep problems, so I did. And he's like, well, I'll prescribe you Ambien. And I talked to him a little bit about my downturn mentally. He's like, oh, I'll send you to this one. And they'll, you know, he's like, oh, he's not going to talk to you too much. Just going to prescribe you what medication he thinks you need. And I'm like, all right, thank you. I took the number. I'm like, all right, time for a new general practitioner, because I didn't want medicine for any of them. I wanted that to be a last resort. I know that there's things that I could do. I need to get back to exercising like I used to. I had a really good summer in terms of working out. And I've really fallen off with that. And I feel completely different. That affects me mentally when I'm not able to work out, but it also affects me physically. I just don't have the same energy level. So, I mean, I'm like, you know, offense, guy, if I'm going to take an Ambien, I would much rather just take a stronger dose of edible, enjoy it for a little while, listen to some tunes, and then fall asleep for 6 or 8 hours, because I never have any negative side effects from that. And I know Ambien, you can get up and be sleepwalking, and you know, next thing you know, I'll be down the street naked. I don't want any of that. I really, really try to stay away from prescription meds, unless I absolutely have to take them. And then one of the, you know, so moving on to one of the other areas, that I really feel I get a little bit of a benefit of is self-reflection. And this one is like the yin and the yang, right? Because this is where, as I had just said a few minutes ago, if you go a little bit too deep, you can kind of get into the paranoia, and then you really beat yourself up. And that has happened to me. And when that happens to me, that's when I know it's time to take a step back. So I'll really, really cut back. I have a tough time, and I'll be the first to admit, having nights off. Because ultimately I've always had, or at least I'd say for the last 15 years, well prior to me, you know, getting back to pot, I just had a shit pattern of sleep anyway. I would have, it was the reverse though. I could never fall asleep. Once I fell asleep, I'd be okay. Now it's, I can fall asleep and that's really due to the marijuana. And then I just can't sleep. And hey, who knows? That could also be due to the marijuana, waking me up. But I just don't know. I just don't know what it is. But anyway, you know, but a lot of times, as I had said, I don't go too deep. So what could creep up as paranoia, I'm able to really just look at it and say, it's like, all right, well, I'm paranoid about this interaction I had with person A or person B. It could be someone at work that I was kind of a dick to. It could be my wife who maybe I said something the wrong way to. It could be one of my kids. And I can analyze that and say, well, shit, did I fuck that up? You know, or, and if I did, I got to fix it. So if I, you know, if I think that I snapped at someone that I shouldn't have, I'm going to say, hey, next day they're going to get an apology. That's just the way it is. Just going to say, hey, you know, and a lot of times, and I've also learned to be a little bit less self-critical. A lot of times I get, it is a little bit of paranoia. So I think that I did something wrong when I'm high and they're like, no, it was fine. I didn't take it that way at all. But you know, what's the worst thing? What's the worst thing that comes out of that? You know, you let someone know that you're worried that maybe you were a dick unintentionally to them. I mean, you apologize. If they didn't take it that way, that's fantastic. But at least they know that you were thinking about it and certainly not trying to be a dick by apologizing. So it kind of lets them know what, you know, kind of what type of person you are. But yeah, I have gotten a little bit better about that. A lot of times what I'll do now is I'll just kind of make notes like, all right, make sure tomorrow morning when you're sober that you feel the same way about this and this isn't just the pot talking. And I'm also able to do that if I really like, if I do get a little bit too deep on those occasions and beat myself up, how I am able to bring myself back from that in the moment is just say, look, let's think about this tomorrow. If you feel the exact same way tomorrow, then that's something that you need to fix. If you do not, then that was the pot talking. So let's figure that out tomorrow and let's not ruin your buzz. And more often than not, I'm able to pull myself right out of those deep paranoid times. So that makes it a lot less enjoyable. But like I said, every once in a while when I can't, that's when it's time to walk it back a little bit and really just not go too high. And really one of the things that I can do to keep that out is stay away from actually smoking. Cause when I pack a bowl, sometimes even though I know what's in there and I like to make my little concoctions, every once in a while, it just blasts you out of space far more than usual. I don't know if I had hit it wrong. I don't know if my body was had bled out some more and the THC just hit me, super duper hard. But every once in a while, you just go, you think you know what you're doing, and for whatever reason, it hits you a different way. So when that happens, I generally just don't. And actually, when I had my week and a half where I was kind of off and a little bit down, I didn't smoke at all because I was like, well, I knew what was going to happen. If I was already having negative thoughts, I knew that was just going to magnify those. And like, let's not fucking be stupid. let's not make your problems anymore. Let's not compound your problems anymore. And just take it light for the next until you feel better. So I took a good week and a half off of actually smoking and would just use, you know, one of my vape carts here and there, especially just to sleep, just a little hit, little stoner doom in the headphones and drift off to sleep. So, yeah, you know, that's, I've been able to use that, really as a positive, and more often than not, I've turned that negative of paranoia into something that I can use to be a little bit more constructive. And I'll give you the perfect example of this. Back when I, you know, in my first marriage, you know, we had renovated what was a really small house and put two additional stories on. And I had a detached office already, but I moved it into a nice corner downstairs. It was a decent size, smaller than I have now, but it was just an office in the house. This is, you know, my office, my music space. I use this for a lot. It was really nice to have in the house, just much more convenient because I could get in there, get out of there quickly. Didn't have to worry about it. If I was home and the kids were home with me, I could work in there. And as they had gotten older, you know, I had my son Lane, who is still with me now, and then a stepson. And then I have, you know, two of my own from the second marriage. But you know, when they were a little bit younger, if they had a day off, and my wife at the time who did not have a day off, I could get some work done in the office and still kind of keep an ear open for them. But I used to never ever fucking clean that thing. And I don't know why. I was just lazy, I guess, or like it was just one of those things. And like, I mean, and it was bad. It was like eventually stuff would just pile up and I would have to like step over it. And then like one night I just got high and I turned around and I like went to take a step over something. I almost had to lunge. And I just said to myself, what the fuck are you doing? You know, I was like, you should, like, you have no re-, and I beat myself up over that. I was like, if you don't clean this office and keep it clean from now on, starting tomorrow, you're just a piece of shit. And that's what I did. The next day I got up and I just worked. And then I kept that office clean until that house was sold. And you know, not to say it didn't get sloppy here and there if I was busy, but for work every Friday, that desk was organized. And I've actually taken that now to every single day, unless it's a fucking doozy of a day and I just can't wait to get out of this office. I just spend 10 minutes organizing my desk. So the next day when I come in, everything's clean. There's not a bunch of shit reminding me of how bad yesterday was in my face. So, you know, that's just an example of how you can use that paranoia for something good. Because look, sometimes the paranoia is telling you the truth. Sometimes you know that you're wrong about a situation, but you don't beat yourself up over it. You kind of let it drift away. And then, you know, when your consciousness is a little bit more open because of the pot, you might be a little bit more inclined to see it differently and actually accept that you made a mistake there. And again, this is all just me. I mean, maybe there's nobody that has any of this shit in common with me. And I'd actually be curious to find out. I know that, you know, like in music and stuff like that and sex is no, but I'm just talking about how you kind of use the paranoia or what could be perceived as paranoia, and try to take that from being problematic and something that ultimately, you know, turns people away from pot, which I get, and how you turn that into if you turn that into something good, you know, or is that just, you know, one of those weird fucking mental gymnastics my mind does just to try to keep moving and trying to keep improving as a person. But anyway, one of the last areas that I wanted to touch on, and this one's, you know, kind of funny. It's maybe a little bit snarky, but I just think of it as getting shit done. And I know that's like the antithesis of what you know, what people say about pot. It's supposed to ruin your motivation. And I've never had that happen to me. I'm not going to say that if I'm not tired, it doesn't knock me out. Of course it does. But if I have to get shit done, I have never not got shit done because of pot. Even nowadays, like, you know, there's a lot of times where if I'm going to go work out, I'll take a draw. I don't, and I'll go. And when I would do that at the track sometime, it was fantastic. I would have my great workout in the sun. I would sweat. I'd be really focused on it. I'm trying to push myself, feeling every heartbeat, really enjoying the music that I had in my headphones. So I would always get shit like that done. But then, like, I just always have shit to do. So, you know, weekends, I'm always cleaning. Like today just is a perfect example. I mean, we got up, we have a little bit of a Christmas party, Jesus Christ, a little Halloween party because, you know, it's locked down for COVID. And our kids are little, they're not really quite into it yet. The little ones are 3. So we've got their one younger and one slightly older cousin coming over. And then, you know, their parents and then the grandparents, very small group. Not sure if legally it's allowed in Rhode Island, but they can go fuck themselves at this point. We're going to get our small family of what, 12 people together for one night for Halloween for the kids. And you know, we had a lot of cleaning to do. So I did the floors today. Excuse me. No, I don't have a cough button. I'm not a real fucking professional podcaster. I'm actually going to take a drink right now. I have a rare Landshark lager beer. I haven't drank a beer probably in 2 months. So actually, nope, that's incorrect. I met my friend, my dealer, because he was having a tough time with something. I figured I'd meet up with him and talk to him for a little bit and see if I could help get him through it. So we ended up having a beer. This was pretty good, though. Landshark lager. It's not really I don't think it's a microbrew. It says Margaritaville Brewing. So it's probably just another Anheuser-Busch thing. Well, that'd be my guess. But anyway, you know, so to carry on with, you know, today being a day that I just had to get shit done, we had to go out because we had all of that snow yesterday. There was a bunch of, you know, it dragged down a bunch of leaves. And I've been cleaning. I fucking took out the leaf blower 3 times last week. And just, we have a very long driveway and a lot of trees. So the one thing that can keep everything looking really clean but still fall, I don't need to clean up all the leaves yet, but it just looks like a disaster when your entire driveway is covered. So I can kind of go and do the edging around there and keep it looking neat, and then keep the nice look of the fall in the grass while we're, you know, still kind of moving those and getting rid of those a little bit. But today was all soaking fucking wet because all of the trees are starting to melt because the sun's out. It's mid-40s, I think, when as a high today. So, you know, my wife and I just went out there because we have, you know, only three cars coming over, but it's slippery as hell. I mean, it was covered with leaves. So we both went out there and we pushed all the leaves around. You know, obviously, it's not all of them. It's not perfect like when you do it with a leaf blower. But, you know, it's more than presentable. You just got a couple of leaves here and there as opposed to it being completely covered. So we went out there. We pushed those around. Like I said, we did what we had to do in the house. Now I'm out here chilling out for a bit. Poor woman, she still wants to do some stuff. She's not taking a breather. She's got a little bit of food prep that she wants to do. Asked her if she needed any help. She said, no, actually, there's really nothing you can do. So nothing I shall do. But, you know, so I've got about an hour of time to myself, maybe an hour and a half. I'm going to do this for a little bit, and then I'm going to go in, and then I've got, you know, parental duties of running a party. I've got, you know, pizzas to order. I've got you got to be on your game. You got people over. You're entertaining. So that's going to be fun, and it's like, you know, all of that, like, is where's my motivation lost? It's just another typical day of getting up and doing stuff, and I know, like, you know, it's funny because I can never remember the difference between, you know, sativa and indica. And I think I read someone on Reddit said, I just always remember indica as indicouch, which was perfect because that's what usually you make edibles out of. They really knock me out. So I prefer a sativa. And look, I'm willing to admit that it could be placebo. But, you know, sativas are supposed to be far more uplifting and energetic as opposed to, you know, giving you the couch lock, as it's called. And I'll be damned if I don't feel that because I make sure that I keep my cart separate. And if I can get a sativa or at least a heavy sativa strain, that's what I'm going to when I've got stuff to do. Like, I mean, when I have to steam mop my floors, which I don't do often, but it's a chore. It's about an hour and a half. I've got a sweep, I've got a vacuum, and then I've got a steam mop. I mean, it comes out amazing. You know, we've got these really nice, like, oak colored I think it's vinyl flooring, which looks really, it's actually a favorite part of this renovation when we moved last year. But it's, you know, there's a lot of wood. It's just, you know, fortunately it's just upstairs that we have to do, or that I have to do, but you know, that's one of the tasks that, you know, were delegated to me. My wife hated floors. I don't mind it. I'm not a big fan of laundry. She actually enjoys the folding laundry. So match made in heaven right there. So we, you know, we each have our own chores that we're delegated to, and cleaning the floors is one of them. So that's the type of thing. I'm like, all right, gonna give myself a little little sativa hit. I'm gonna play my little Google Home Hub, listen to some music, and get to work. And next thing you know, an hour and a half has passed and shit's done. It's the same thing. And then, you know, a lot of times I'll just keep going. And when the weather's nice, that's when I'll go out and do yard work, whether it's mow the lawn. Like Sundays, I have maybe 3.5 hours to myself. I think I've said this before. Wife takes the two little ones to her parents' house, which is really close. They spend the day there. More often than not, I've got shit to do. Every once in a while, I'll use that for something fun. Like I'll take a ride to Purchase Street Records or something like that and kill an afternoon or meet a friend or whatnot. But I'd say, like, you know, 7 out of 8 weekends, it's time that I use wisely. It's doing mowing the lawn and edging if it's, you know, weather permitting and it's that season, or right now it's just heavy leaf blowing out in the fucking woods and keeping the driveway clean. But I've also really already started, which I got a late start on last year. I already started. We just got like a big area in the front that's our property, but it just looks like woods. But there is, you know, some of it that we actually use. So I'm really trying to early this year blow the leaves and keep pushing them back. So when they're finally all off, we're not just buried with them. We just have the remainder of it to clean up. But, you know, a lot of times I'm doing 3 straight hours of work. And, you know, and I'm, there's intermittent draws off my vape then and there as well. And when I was actually working out, I would work out before there. So, you know, I think the way I feel about it, and as I had said, this is a lot more personal opinion, or I shouldn't say personal opinion because it's actually how I feel. It's more based on personal experience than any type of, hey, this is what everybody should feel. But I always feel like I can do what I'm going to do, and to some degree, I drive myself. Maybe it's the fear of saying, yeah, I just got lazy. Maybe I just don't want that to happen. But I have a tendency to think that maybe if you already lack motivation, it's just going to enhance that. And the truth is sometimes I lack the desire to do something. I have to use some mental fortitude to make myself do it. There are times when, look, I got 3 hours to myself. I just want to chill for 3 hours. But that's not really the right thing to do, because that's the only time I can do those tasks without it disrupting the family. You know, if I don't want to say, hey, it's Saturday, dad's been working most of the week, and you know, mom's had you guys, but dad's going to go out for 3 hours and blow leaves around or something like that. You know, I can better use that time to spend with them. So every once in a while, look, sometimes you just gotta collapse and say, screw it, I'm just watching TV for an hour of that. And you know, sometimes I just don't do it all. Some days it's just the indoor stuff. Some days it's just the outdoor stuff. So I think you can still get stuff done. So I'm just kind of curious as to whether that was all just propaganda, or they were just, you know, hey, look at these people that are already lazy, and this just made them more lazy. I don't know. But, you know, I guess when I get to the negatives, I thought my joke would be like, negatives, there are none. Have a good day. But, you know, for me, I've kind of talked about them, and you know, the negative, I've actually worked most of the time on turning it into a positive. I mean, obviously, you know, like I said, a couple of times I can get too deep into paranoia. But, you know, that could also just be a reflection of my mental state at the time. And I've got ways that I just get around that. So I don't really have any negatives aside from the fact that I got to spend a little bit of money on it. And perhaps I enjoy it a little bit too much. And, you know, I just my wife doesn't enjoy it. So I'm always cautious about making sure that I don't overdo it. I think some of the time she's not even quite, I don't think she's aware that I, you know, draw my vape occasionally. I think she's always under the impression that I wait until the evening to do that. And I honestly, I don't know why, I just don't tell her that, but I think what my fear is that I don't think someone who doesn't utilize it doesn't understand the difference. And like, I always say that what I'm doing, especially with my taking draws off the vape, is the equivalent of like that first beer that you have, and you don't pound it, you just kind of sip it like any other beer. And if you're a lightweight like me, you don't drink too much, you just get that slight sense of, hey, I feel pretty good right now. You know what I mean? I'm not drunk, I'm just a little bit loose. And I'm an uptight person. I'm always stressed about something. I'm fidgety as hell. I've got my mother's nervous energy. Fortunately, I don't seem to have her nervous stomach. That's what keeps her locked up. She just can't go anywhere because everything gets to her. So, you know, I need, and that's the worst part, is like, I don't think I could explain this to anybody, that like, I just need something to back me off, really, of my, how I'm programmed and how I'm wired, to help me just relax just a little bit and enjoy what's going on, as opposed to worrying about what I have to do the next day for work, or worrying about, you know, everything else that's going on. And you know, the fear of telling folks that would be that they would just think that you're a pothead, which is, you know, an easy, you know, I'm giving you a 33 minute so far, missive on the benefits of marijuana. So I guess the pothead label would probably be a difficult one to fight against. But like, I'm not doing it for no purpose. And look, maybe I've done mental gymnastics to get to the point where I've justified all this, and I sound like a pot addicted lunatic on this, but I don't think so. I think what it's done is it's helped me, it's kind of helped me open my eyes to some of the deficiencies that I had as a person that I wasn't even aware of. It's helped me be much more aware and reflective on interactions that I have with people, much to the point where I've changed the way I've interacted with people to an almost always positive approach, because there's no, I, I if I if I even misconstrue something later on as negative, there's a pretty good chance that I was just being a douche for whatever reason. I just wasn't in the mood. So I've kind of gotten myself to the point where I'm just going to treat every interaction with the fucking utmost priority of being decent to whomever I'm interacting with on the other end. And unless they're a telemarketer, then I just hang up. I'm not mean to them. I'm just like, no, thank you, and I hang around. I even say thank you. But, you know, I've gotten myself to that point, so I don't have those feelings at night. It's almost like what I do now is I've taken all of these, what I'd consider positive, preemptive measures to make sure that I can enjoy myself later in the evening. And essentially, like, I like to think that a nice good smoking session is a reward for a day, not just a job well done, fuck work, a day well lived, you know, a day where you've treated the people that are important to you, but even the people that, you know, I mean, for lack of a better term, don't mean shit to you. You don't know them. It's a, you know, it's a cashier at a store. It's just someone that you're interacting with. You're getting a coffee. It's someone that you'll more than likely never see again. But what's the point of saying, hey, how are you? You know, how's your day? Do you have a good, you know, have a great day. Hope you have a great weekend. You know, if someone says, ah, today stinks, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm really sorry. I hope it gets better. There's no harm in that. And I'm doing it to make myself feel better. Absolutely. But I also think about when I meet someone, and it's unfortunate. You don't always meet some of those people that are just always upbeat or like, hey, how are you? You know, and when you do, you always kind of chuckle to yourself. You're like, wow, they were something else. But you're like, that's just a great way to be, I think, where you're just kind of like happy about every interaction or happy about what's going on in your life. So you treat every interaction with people, you know, with the utmost respect. So I don't know what the reason that I've changed to that is, but it certainly helps me enjoy my evenings a little bit better. And I really hope that at the end of those interactions, whoever on the other end is like, hey, that was a nice part of my day, because I've worked in retail, I've worked in restaurants, and I know that the vast majority of, well, I shouldn't say it, that's a dick thing to say. See, I've already corrected myself. But you know, we do tend to focus on the negative. So when you work in retail, I don't know what the percentage of the douche to decent person ratio is in retail. I'm not sure if it's as high as people think it is, but those douches really stand out. So 1 out of 100, you're going to remember. Maybe that's just the way the mind works or whatnot, but you're going to remember that, and it has the chance to ruin your day. And you know, so I wonder if someone being really super nice and say, hey, thank you, I hope you have a great day, I always wonder if that at least tilts the needle the other way. Because it is a nice feeling leaving conversations and having that feeling like, yeah, you know, I hope that person received, you know, enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. And truth be told, with COVID, I have so few in-person interactions outside of family, because everything I'm doing is remote. So I mean true in person, like, you know, not, you know, through a computer in person. I have so few of those that I've come to value those even more. It's like, I'm just even fucking happy to be talking to a person. You know, sometimes the telemarketers might get in the ear at this point. I'm not even going to hang up. They might hang up on me when I'm done. So I don't know. I think I went off on a little bit of a tangent on these. I actually was figuring I'd probably fill maybe 10 or 15 minutes, but maybe it's this half a Landshark lager that's got me going. Anyway, it's Halloween. I think I got about 45 more minutes, so I'm probably going to put on a record. Hope you all have a good night.